morning and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. As always, our weekly conversations include you, and the phone lines are open. Our number is 941-3689. If you call us from Oahu, that's the number to use. If you're on a neighbor island or listening to the live stream someplace else, call us at 877-941-3689. They never expected to be at the very center of a government shutdown. And while the fighting words over the Affordable Care Act continue, states with health exchanges, including Hawaii, and the federal site handling inquiries for the 36 states without an exchange, well, they're now open for business. Sort of. Traffic and glitches made it a rough opening, and that might be expected given the volume of people and the amount of tech needed to serve the purpose. But as much as the functionality of the system is under scrutiny, more so now are the costs and the details of the plans, if you can see those plans. If you've been listening to some of the national stories on HPR, you know that the question of whether younger people will sign up is very much in the minds of both that demographic and insurers. Some on the younger end have even said they'd rather just skip it and pay the penalty. We know you've got questions, too, so tonight our panel is here to answer them. Joining us is Gordon Ito, Hawaii's insurance commissioner. He's on the phone from a meeting in Nevada. And here in the studio, Coral Andrews, the executive director of the Hawaii Health Connector. Also, she's a registered nurse and board certified in healthcare management. Tony Sagibo is here. He is the vice president of government programs for HMSA, and his team is responsible for implementing all provisions of the Affordable Health Care Act. And finally, also joining us is Joan Danley, Kaiser Permanente's vice president. She oversees strategic business development and healthcare reform, and she's also president of the Kaiser subsidiary, Rainbow Dialysis. Thank you all for being here. Commissioner, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks for joining us. I know that coming in by phone was the best we could do to be able to get you here, and we really appreciate the effort. As you have been talking with other commissioners and looking out at how the past few days have sort of unraveled, and I use that word advisedly, was this the best that we could do?
Well, we're hoping that the connector would be fully operational, but, you know, in talking to the many other commissioners, at least I'm at a meeting with the NAIC, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and at the Western Zone states, and many states are having similar problems to what the Hawaii Health Connector is experiencing on a technical side, because it's been a tremendous build and challenge for everyone, not only for the connector, but also for the state and the state partners.
When you are talking to some of your peers, are there other issues that they're telling you that we don't have to deal with here? Make us feel good for a moment.
Well, I mean, some of the states in the Western Zone is on a federal facilitated exchange, where the federal government site is, you know, you may be well aware if it crashed the first day, it wasn't even operational. So, you know, many states are facing similar challenges on the technical part.
We did a lot of buildup over the last, especially during this year and the last year or so, going into what people's expectations might be of the health connector and all the plans. The idea that there would be 95 plans to choose from potentially, and not being able to have access to one of them over the last couple of days. What have you heard from your office?
Well, from our office, I mean, we've been monitoring what's happening on the technical side with the connector. I mean, from the insurance division side, you know, I'm really proud of the staff, of the division, and the tremendous effort that we put in. I'm not sure if people realize that, you know, for us, it started over 3 years ago when the Healthcare Reform Act was passed. And we, the insurance division, was the agency that applied for two federal grants. So one was the Health Premium Rate Review Grant, as well as the planning grant for the health insurance exchange, now known as the Hawaii Health Connector. So we kind of started the whole process off, and it's been a very long and challenging haul for us, you know, from starting and creating a task force for the connector, as well as helping operate the interim board until they fully was the permanent board set up. So it's been, you know, a big challenge, as well as meeting or trying to comprehend all the federal regulations and the rules and the and the lateness in some of the regulations to come into play, and then getting the plans, you know, reviewed and approved in a timely manner by August 31st so the conductor could sell a qualified health plan. So I can't say enough for the insurance division staff and the effort they put in. You know, we met all our deadlines, so I'm very proud of what they did.
Meanwhile, I think you all are probably some of the few people who have actually seen all of these plans. A lot of people have a great many questions and are looking to find some answers. Do you have a real beat on when they're going to be able to get them?
You know, probably Carl is the better person to be able to answer that question, but we're hoping the connector will be able to get the shop and compare part operational soon, because that really is, I think, one of the biggest benefit that, you know, the people as well as businesses will be able to shop and compare rates, and it's going to bring a big amount of transparency in terms of premiums, and that's going to be, I think, a big benefit for Hawaii.
And transparency with deductibles, too?
Well, that talking about deductibles, I mean, that's a whole different subject. I mean, for us, I think trying to have everyone understand the variations in the 95 plans, in reality, it's about 60 plans, medical plans, that will have different variations. And the challenge, I think, in part, will having people understand what the variations are between the deductibles, the copay, the coinsurance, and the maximum out-of-pocket, which the federal government for individuals set as $6,350. So having people understand that and be able to make informed decisions on shopping and comparing will be a challenge.
It's a challenge for a lot of people just to recognize that, you know, when they're talking about, we're joking a little earlier about the, you know, some of the man on the street interviews have been going where people ask about the ACA and then they ask about Obamacare, and depending upon which way you phrase it, you get very different answers. I mean, people just are having a real difficult time in some cases recognizing what it is. Have we done as good of an education as we could have, or given as well as we could have?
Well, I think everybody has different opinions on that question. One thing we all have to remember is that the plan, at least for the connector plans, it's going to be starting from January 1st. So from today forward, well, actually October 1st forward, I mean, we have a tremendous opportunity and time to provide more education to everyone. So collectively, you know, the state as well as the health insurers and the connector, we should all work together in trying to educate everyone as best as we can.
Meanwhile, when you say that people need to be making an informed choice, there's a real gap in how they can be able to do that. What do you say to those who, some of whom we've been hearing from this week, who say, you know, I don't think this is really going to affect me. I don't really want to do this. I think I'll just skip it.
Well, that's a good point that you make, because what, at least from the state, what we're trying to convey is for individuals, you know, they're under ACA, there's the individual mandate, where everyone in the United States will have to have some kind of health care policy, whether they obtain it individually or through an employer-based policy. But with respect to the purchase of that policy, going through the connector is not a requirement. It's really those who are within 400% of the federal poverty level would be eligible for subsidies. And the only way you can get that subsidies for an individual is to purchase a health plan from the connector with the plan starting January 1st. And for small businesses, the only way they can get a small business tax credit starting from January 1st is to purchase a health plan through the connector. Small businesses with 25 employees or less, with an average income of $50,000 or less, starting January 1st, will may be able to get a tax credit up to 50%.
When you talk about the employees, you're talking about, I mean, about the small business, you're talking about employees who are making less than $50,000.
The average for that small business salary has to be $50,000
right.
or less.
Right, not the business itself.
Yeah, and the other point is people who currently are on Medicare and Medicaid, as well as large employer groups, do not have to go through the connector.
Although are there is help for them too if they do go through the connector.
Well, yes, again, it goes to the ability to shop and compare prices. But for large employer groups, they will not be able to purchase through the connector. Those who may be eligible for Medicaid, they should go to the connector and see if they are eligible. They're in reality will be referred to the Department of Human Services site that does Medicaid eligibility, that is up and running and fully operational.
All right, we're going to give you a break for a moment, bring everybody else into this conversation. Stay with us, and thanks again for being willing to join us. Coral Andrews, a lot of people are looking in your direction because we had a lot of buildup to the connector. Mm-hmm. Then it opened, and nobody could see a plan. We could see lots of information. You could call in and get lots of people to help. You had a lot of calls come in, a lot of applications, what, about 1,200 applications? People were active on that day, but not being able to see the plan, obviously, was, or any of those plans, that was a hardship. When will we be able to see the plans?
Well, thank you, Beth Ann, and I do want to acknowledge Gordon and his team for the work that they've done up to this point. It was significant, and it really set a good course and path for the connector to pick up and start running. So I want to acknowledge him for that. So in getting the exchange up and running, they're both business considerations and technical considerations. To bring plans to market, we have to ensure that we have, by agreement with the issuers, done the due diligence to allow them time to validate and verify that the plan rates are calculating correctly. And as Gordon said, there are a lot of variables that are built into that calculation, age, tobacco utilization. And so those that process, we have been working very collaboratively with the issuers through that process and a number of scenarios that they bring forward, because you have both the individual side of the exchange and the shop side of the exchange. So the business consideration for our organization going live is we have not only a contractual obligation to ensure that we have done the due diligence to ensure the rates are presented properly, but we have a statutory responsibility in the state from a consumer protection to ensure that, or a consumer transparency, that we are presenting the rates accurately. So we had been involved in that issuer scenario activity, and we did run into some technical problems. And so, again, it goes back to the business considerations that I've always said to the team that the most important thing is that we provide the best consumer user experience on day one. So what I can affirm is that on day one, we were able to provide consumer assistance. People were able to complete applications. They were able to seek assistance from marketplace assisters in the location statewide. And then we continue to do our work to ensure that the presentment of the plans and the rates are being accurately displayed before bringing them forward. So I want the public to understand that while the expectation may not have been met in the way that they had hoped or we had hoped, at the same time, we want to ensure that we're making the best business decision on behalf of the community, so that when they are able to see those plans, it's understandable, it's not frustrating for them.
If you're just joining us tonight, we're talking about, you guessed it, how the Health Connector has been able to open for business this week in Hawaii and certainly across the United States for those who have health connectors and the site that's handling those states that do not. For you and your expectations, what did you have going into October 1st? So many of us had that date circled on our calendars to know that that was the date it would be happening, and then went to the site to have a less than satisfactory experience. Coral Andrews is here, the executive director of the Health Connector, explaining a little bit why. Also, State Insurance Commissioner Gordon Ito is joining us by phone, and we also are talking with you tonight. And if you'd like to join us, 941-3689, 941-3689, or 877-941-3689 if you call us from the neighbor islands. Coral, did we make a mistake in creating such an expectation, or was it just simply a fact that it was not going to meet expectations on that very day when it opened, given the volume of people who had been trained to sort of look that way and with the tech, you know, the technical integration that you had to have federally and within a state. I mean, did we do a disservice to people by talking so much about this?
No, I don't think so. One part of me is smiling because I'm reflecting on the, you know, the national activity and recognizing that, you know, there were varied experiences nationwide.
Yeah, we didn't crash and burn and completely go down, but people couldn't see the thing that they really wanted to see, which is the plans.
Right, and there is additional, we are working very hard to phase in additional functionality. We've also been having discussions with the issuers to see if there are half steps we would be able to take to be able to get rate information to them in a way that's understandable. As the commissioner said, it's the rate is, you know, a number, but there are factors that do inform what someone's premium will be. So it's a calculation. And so there's been some discussion about how can we take that half step in the interim of getting the full functionality up to be able to acknowledge our obligation and commitment to the consumers and give them insight into those rates, at the same time to do it in a way that is easily understandable. But I think as everyone has been reading, there have been variations in the rollouts across this across the nation. There's both the federally facilitated marketplace and then Hawaii, which is a state-based marketplace, which really was the right decision for Hawaii, given that we have the Prepaid Health Care Act in place. So I do want to convey to the public that we have had 20,000 unique visitors to our website. What we do know, there's strong public interest in the implementation of the exchanges. They are able to seek assistance from marketplace assisters. If they go to our website, there are maps that they can print to find them in their geographic areas. So
right now you can ask a lot of questions, but you can't exactly make any calculations because the plans aren't there, and that's where the link is missing.
There is a manual advanced premium tax credit calculator on our website, so small businesses can at least go on and put in their information that's described on the website to get a sense of what subsidy or tax credit they may get. So there is some manual functionality available. And again, we look forward to continuing the dialogue with the issuers to see what we can do to respond to the community interest until the full functionality comes up.
Well, we've got some here. We also have some people calling in saying that they've been listening to what you have been saying and they don't much understand it.
Oh,
and if
okay.
we can somehow put this in a way where it's much more concrete for them, that we'll be doing that and trying to make it. This is what I mean by people who are still very smart and still
sure.
finding this very, very difficult to wrap their brains around. If that's you, call up and ask a question. We have our panel here at the table. Coral Andrews is here. Also, Tony Sagibo, who is here from HMSA, VP of Government Programs, and Joan Danley, Kaiser Permanente's VP, and she oversees strategic development, including health care reform. You got a lot of answers potentially around this table, but you got to ask the question first. 941-3689-877-941-3689. And State Insurance Commissioner Gordon Ito joins us by phone. So if you have a question for any of them about how you are or are not going to be participating in all this and what happens to you if you don't, or how you can better figure out what this might mean for you in the interim before you can actually make some calculations or work with the plans that aren't on right now on the website, we'll see if we can help you here. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Tony and Joan, thanks very much for giving us a little time to get people on board with what we're doing here. But for you, you know, because you are the major insurers in town and looking at how these plans roll out, there are a lot of people who have questions. Will plans for them really change so much? We've seen the breakdown of, you know, all the medal assignments from bronze to platinum. The real questions for people, if they were employed and maybe now are not employed, or maybe they're seeking insurance for the very, very first time to be able to make some real choices based on some real money, not theoretical money, of some who may have family members who have talked to them about plans that they've had. So a lot of information, and in many cases, misinformation. But where it squarely comes down to, and the questions that we've heard all week since we've let people know we would be talking about this, is really knowing about what it's going to cost them, not just with a premium, but with deductibles, and what kind of money we're really talking about. You're nodding your head. This is obviously a sore spot with a lot of people because we haven't spent much time on this. It's been more how we can make it all happen. So Tony, let's start with you first. When we look at some of the plans that have been traditionally out there that people have had if they've been employed and maybe aren't now, and they're going to have to go get something similar, can we compare some apples to apples?
Sure. Yeah, so first of all, thank you for inviting me to participate in this discussion. I think it's a great time for us to be actually having this dialogue. I would definitely like to start with sort of that population of people who get their insurance through their employer, because I think that's an important part of the way in which the lion's share of the majority of people do secure a health plan policy. And I think in Hawaii, that's going to continue to be the same. We have the legacy of the Hawaii Prepaid Health Care Act, which is a mandate for employers to offer coverage. And so for most people, they'll be able to continue to secure their insurance through that means, and nothing will really change for them. But I think you give the example of somebody who loses their job and is now looking at options that they may have available in comparison to what they might have had available in the past. And it's definitely true that the Affordable Care Act does allow us to, and really sort of requires us to, bring a different variety of plans with a different enhancement of benefits that is different from what's been currently available. But with it, they also brought some available monies to make available in terms of the form of tax credits. So, yes, the plans that you're going to see, and as we've talked about, the plans may not be as visible on the Hawaii Health Connector today. There is the opportunity for people to look at some of the issuer's direct websites to be able to get some of that information already.
But they have to know who those direct issuers are.
Sure.
And you have to network around a little bit to be able to find that information.
That is true. But perhaps shows like this, as well as opportunities for people to, through commercials and through the media, advertising, hopefully most people know by now that HMSA and Kaiser are available will be available on the Hawaii Health Connector. And those are the plans they should be looking at for them, where they will be able to secure some of those tax credits.
But let's talk about real plans for people. Like, take a very basic plan that someone might have if they were working and how much they would be paying. Just draw out a scenario for me of what someone might expect if they are getting a single plan and they used to be working and now they have to go look for that plan themselves.
Sure. Well, of course, the biggest factor is that when you have a group plan policy, the amount that a person would pay is also tied in part to what their employer would be contributing to the premium. So one of the other aspects of the Prepaid Health Care Act, in addition to defining what the plan will look like, it also has a contribution requirement, and it requires an employer to pay really almost all of the premium. So people who secure insurance through a employer environment are not really paying that much towards that health plan policy themselves, because the employer is required to absorb most of it. So when you compare maybe what they see there, say for instance maybe $500 for the policy, the employer is probably paying about 90, 95, and even sometimes 98% of that. When they go to if they come then out to the health connector, or they come to HMSA directly, they might be able to still find a policy that's $500, which includes, medical, drug, vision and dental. But then now they're really going to be faced with the full premium. And I would relate that to a similar experience that may not be as foreign to a lot of people. If you think about the concepts of COBRA, which have been around since, I think, 1993, in that situation, an employee separates from a company and then they're invited to continue to participate in the group plan policy for 18 months.
And the sticker shock sets in.
Exactly. And so it's exactly that same thing as well. While they may not have really understood that the premium was $500 for all of those benefits that they were getting, $500 a month. When they finally are presented with the COBRA option, they're now being faced with paying that full premium because there's really no more employer sharing. And that's the kind of thing that they're going to see. And I think when you think about the metal levels that were designed or presented as sort of requirements, I think they were in part designed to think about what people's risk tolerance is for sharing in the cost of their health care based on what they think the need is. And it goes up and down.
Joan, on your point, you obviously you're another insurer. You have a different set of plans. People can usually choose between one or the both of you. At this point, are you changing plans at all to make it more transparent to people what they will be paying as a deductible so that people can really see, look, if this is the plan you choose, this is how much you're going to have to cough up if, in fact, you need to use it. And what are you hearing?
What you'll find on when you go shopping for a Kaiser plan is both choice. We have made lots of choices for people, for the community and for consumers, as well as affordability. So our plans are really focused around choice, consumer choice, and affordability for consumers. And you will see that transparency on our website if you're shopping, as well as when the plans are available on the Connector website. You will see the transparency around what is the deductible, what is the copay, what is the benefit. And there, the plans within those metallic levels, the highest one is for 90% actuarial value, which is actually a really good plan. And so someone who is looking for a plan that is similar to the employer coverage they had previously, in the example that you gave of someone who did have employer coverage, they could look at that platinum plan, that highest level plan. But yes, there will be transparency around deductibles and what the benefit package is.
The bottom line, though, is that people are going to have to look at affordability, not just in what their monthly premium may be, but what it may cost them down the line. And that's not a conversation that we've had really up until just very, very recently. I mean, people thinking, well, I can get a plan for roughly the same amount as I'm paying for my cell phone or my cable bill or whatever. But I mean, that may be a way of putting it into a monthly budget. But then you need to figure out what it may cost you later on. And some of it is, in a way, you know, trying to hedge your bets about what may happen. But you can never really know when something is happening, which is the whole point of why people carry insurance in the first place. Have a lot of callers on the line. If you'd like to join us, now's the time to do it. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Nancy calling us from Kapahulu. Aloha, Nancy. Thanks for your patience.
Hi. You know, I was just wondering this may not be the case, I'm just curious, is if the medical issuers, are dragging their feet on the plans because of what's happening on the federal level here. I mean, you know, if they're dragging their feet here in Hawaii because of what's happening on the federal level, is there any, are they hoping that the political conversation is going to go one way or the other before they start, moving faster on getting plans together? Because I'm not sure, but it seems like the medical insurers would be able to come up with numbers quicker than they have, since that's what they do full time. Right? I don't know.
All right. Well, two things to think about. First of all, as long as ACA is the law of the land, there's going to have to be compliance or whatever happens if you choose not to. But as far as actually being able to see the plans, what I know, Donnie, you wanted to speak to this a little bit.
Well, so first I'll just point out that I think that so the issuers, I think, have presented the information. And I want to say, first of all, you know, I want to acknowledge some of the stuff that Coral pointed out at the outset, which is that requirement and the importance of making sure that the information that's shared with the community, with the consumer, is accurate, that the information is appropriate, because while they may have the information may be available, may have already been presented to the insurance division for review and approval, and all of those efforts have taken place. When it gets down to that final stage, when the consumer is looking at, well, and making a choice on the plan, it's so important that the information is accurate, because that is the health plan policy contract that they're going to enter into for the next year, and we want to be sure that what we're presenting them, and as they make that decision, is exactly what's being committed to. So it's not an issue of us being ready. It's about just making sure that the information is being presented accurately.
But from the consumer perspective, I think what Nancy was saying and what we've heard from other people this week too is that it just seems like this wasn't ready to go live. It wasn't ready for people to actually engage with it and get their questions answered with real numbers, not just sort of the hows and the whys you do it, but here are the real nuts and bolts of what it means for you with your numbers and being able to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think her point was more about, you know, dragging feet on this, not necessarily from a political standpoint, but mm-hmm. perhaps not, you know, having gone live too soon, even though the date was October 1st.
Sure. Well, Nancy, this is Coral Andrews. Thank you so much for your question. You know, the first thing I want to do is dispel any rumors or myths that there's a process of anyone dragging their feet. That absolutely is not happening. Act 205, which is the statute that established the Hawaii Health Connector, first identified what the regulatory process was for qualifying the health plans. And as the insurance commissioner indicated, he and his team did a wonderful job of getting through that process. And then that information gets pushed over to us. It comes over in a form of a rate table, but the rate table by itself doesn't communicate to a consumer what the price of the premium is. The premium, which is the sticker price that you'll see on the plan, includes different variables. And so with the federal health reform law, there are two key variables that are part of that calculation, which are tobacco utilization and age. And then in addition to that, if you think about an IT system, so this is sort of the complexity of ensuring the accuracy, is that there are different scenarios. You can have a family of four. You can have, you know, someone who is employed and someone who's not employed. So the value of the exchange is the seamless online experience where we will be able to, for families, have them come one place. The person who's employed, they can have, insight.
And forgive me for interrupting you, but we've heard some of this before. And right. I think her whole point is, and the frustration that a lot of people are feeling and are certainly telling us, is that it's the way in which the expectations were set mm-hmm. and the reality don't sink. And into that trough, a lot of people are falling at the moment. So, you know, whereas there might not have been any conscious effort to drag feet, the fact that it wasn't ready to go live at a point where people were sort of ready to do something or at least go find out about it, all they can do now is talk more about it in the theoretical sense of how it should be working and how it should be helping them or not, but they can't plug in their own numbers. That's in part, I think, why we needed to have a conversation about some of those real numbers. And so far, we haven't heard a whole lot of them at the moment, except our number, 941-3689, which is the number you can call if you are on Oahu, or from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Going to Vivian calling us from Kaimuki. Aloha, Vivian.
Hi, aloha. I have a question. I work in a physician's office. Apparently, recently, quite a few physicians, they cover employees under HMSA. We received notice. Apparently, the premiums are going to be increased drastically, almost double in some cases, effective January 1st, 2014. Can I ask why? What's the reason for that?
All right, Tony's nodding his head. He'll be happy to answer for you. Tony, go ahead.
So, Vivian, thank you so much for the question. And just like many other employers, HMSA did take a conscious effort to try to look carefully at the way in which rates have been historically developed, how we'd be required to develop them going forward, and wanted to bring some transparency and some visibility to what those changes were going to look like. To answer your question more fully, you have to take a small step backwards just to share with you that the way in which rates have been historically developed have been based upon really what does a group or a group of employees actually use in the healthcare system, and then we take that. There's a mathematical process to determine, to look at that, and then what the prediction is in the future, what that will be. And you marry that to sort of what we're now going to be required to do, which is to sort of take a base rate, which is sort of the overall use of the system across everybody, and then apply certain age factors. And so there is, if you can think of a bell curve, there's a series of employers out there that are going to get some increases based on those age rating factors. But there's also a series of employers who are going to get decreases because the neutral factor now is just going to be what ages are the population being covered. And so then you simply add up, as Coral pointed out earlier, the people who are being covered, and then you have the rate. And you compare that to what you were paying before, which is built on a different system, and then you're going to have some positives and negatives.
All right. We've got lots of callers on the line, so I'm going to ask you to keep the questions brief and answers too, if you can, at least getting to the point so we can get through as many people as we can. Oh, going now to Nick calling us from Maui. Aloha, Nick. Thanks for your patience.
Aloha. How are you?
We're doing pretty well.
Okay. I'm an employer. It kind of goes along with your previous questions. And we got a statement from HMSA that our rates are going up for 66%. Probably it's because we have some older employees that we've had for, 15, 20 years. What the question is, what do I do with my employees? This rate increase comes out to $480,000 in gross sales that I will have to generate in order to cover this. What do I do? You still there?
I think you just have a shocked group around the table when you threw out that 400,000 plus number that you're going to have to generate to be able to cover it.
Yeah, but we're a 10% business. We're not a business making 50% on each sale.
No, but I think you're sort of asking really a philosophical question when you say, what do I do with my employees?
Like, what do I tell my people to go? I won't be able to afford it, right? Probably.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. So now we have a small business person who says, I can't afford to do this anymore. What happens? Commissioner, are you there?
Yes.
What happens when we have a small business person like this who says, I can't afford to do this anymore?
With Hawaii, the prepaid health care law controls, and so any employee working more than 20 hours a week, the employer has to provide health care insurance. I don't really want to mention it, but the alternative is if an employee works less than 19 hours, then the employer does not have to provide health care.
And a lot of people have figured that one out and have been doing that for a little while. But when you have a long-established business and now many businesses are being caught in this same place, they've already done what you just were talking about, suggesting backing them down in hours. Or for someone who is trying to be ethical and responsible to his employees, he's faced with having this chap who's on the phone with us now, faced with having to generate $400,000 more in sales, which
right.
He's not sure he can do, which may threaten his whole business.
Yeah, we understand that. I mean, the difficulty with Hawaii is that under ACA, there is no employer mandate to provide health care insurance for small businesses 25 employees or less, or 50 employees or less. But there's the prepaid requirement, so it's very a difficult situation for small businesses in Hawaii. They're caught between ACA and the requirement under prepaid.
Coral Andrews also wants to chime in about this.
Sure.
Stay with us, Nick.
Thank you, Nick, so much for your sharing your story with us. As the commissioner said, we have the Prepaid Health Care Act here in Hawaii. We're able to build on that, and the shop side or small business side of the exchange will be able to accommodate employers who can select online who are subject to prepaid, as well as those employers who are subject to the ACA. One thing that you may want to take a look at is whether or not, dependent upon the number of employees, the number of FTEs you have.
That's full-time employees.
Correct. If you would qualify for tax credits. So if you go on to HawaiiHealthConnector.com, you can take a look at the information. There's a calculator also to help estimate whether you might be able to qualify for tax credits. There's also information on there from the IRS that helps to guide you in the retroactive application for tax credits back to 2010. Beginning in 2014, tax credits will only be available coming onto the health insurance marketplace.
All right, Nick. Now, is that calculator, Coral, actually working right now?
Yes, that calculator is on our back office website.
All right, Nick, we wish you all the best, and certainly for you and your employees.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Going now to Kaylee, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha, Beth Ann, and I appreciate your doing this program. In full disclosure, it's Kaylee Lopez with the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs.
Well, hello there.
I want to call in and add into a bit of what some of your guests have presented regarding where we are today in being prepared with the connector. And I think really what we want to get to is the calls that you just had, which is the specifics. And although we weren't 100% ready on the first, I think the piece that's really important, Beth Ann, is the fact that we have assisters who are able to talk people through those issues and, if anything, really prepare them and have them be ready to fill out those forms once they can start comparing. I think getting folks ready for that is a key part of that.
Yeah, you're talking about helping them do their due diligence.
A lot of other places.
Yeah, you're talking about helping them do their due diligence now, even if they can't actually get the real numbers.
Absolutely,
but they're still going to have to get their real numbers.
The due diligence is the harder part. Filling out the form and being able to do the shop and compare is absolutely going to be much easier with the interface that the connector is building. And just on the issue, and I know it's hard for people to understand that, you know, folks have definitely not been dragging their feet. Coral and her staff and contractors have literally working 20-hour days for weeks, if not months, to try to get ready for October 1st. But as Tony indicated, the connector has to do its due diligence and can't release those plans and make them available to the public until they're certain of integrity. And, you know, again, that might be difficult for people to understand. Gosh, how come we're not ready? The reality is we're just not there yet, but
okay.
We're really close. That's the only thing I want to make sure people know is
Kaylee,
we're
thanks.
Really close.
Thanks so much for the call. We're going to take some other real folks now who want to talk about their issues, but thanks so much for calling in. Going now to Ron calling us from McCauley. And if you'd like to be next, 941-3689 is our number if you're on Oahu. And if you're on a neighbor island, call us at 877-941-3689. Tonight we're talking about Hawaii's health connector, the plans, what it might mean for you, trying to get us all together, at least informationally, before we can actually work on the website and be able to plug in some actual numbers, because as you may know, if you've tried already, it's not fully functional yet. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you have a specific question, give us a call. Going to Ron from McCauley. Aloha, Ron.
Hello, Beth Ann. My question is kind of got to do with the rates and stuff that are out there right now, and just from kind of comparing, you know, plans, you know, from like HMSA and Kaiser and stuff, and that they, you know, the rates. I mean, I understand, you know, there's single rates for single individuals and that, like that. But then, what I thought is this care was supposed. I mean, this Affordable Care Act was supposed to put everybody in a group, more or less, kind of like what you get when you have an employer where you get a better rate and stuff like that. Now, the thing is. You know, a lot of people are not going to be able to afford a lot of these and stuff, and then that's going to be the issue and stuff like that. And then granted, you know, there's subsidies and all that in there and stuff, but like when the employers that I've had, you know, I've wound up paying maybe 20, 30 bucks a paycheck and stuff for, you know, pretty good plans and all that. Now, the question I have is that over time, and I understand that the real thing is they've got to get people in the plan so that they can, you know, barter more on better plans and stuff like that. But what my just is, you know, after, you know, a year and now from now, once, you know, people, you know, you get a majority of the people that aren't in, you know, that aren't insured now in there, and that would the rates eventually come down, or are they still going to be the same?
Because okay, like so, some of that is obviously looking into a crystal ball and trying to prognosticate a little bit. Let's take some of the questions you've already asked, and Ron, see if we can get you some answers. But you know, his basic question is, okay, if you don't really have people participating in this, aren't the rates going to be affected by that? Your answer probably would be, well, they're going to be affected, but the question is how? Also, my earlier question about if you have younger people who say, you know, we're just not going to be doing that. We'd rather take the hit if that's what happens, then we'll go ahead and do that. How are you going to be able to structure this when you're creating a plan so that it will be something that somebody actually can afford?
I'll just try to answer the question. I think there are three basic principles that I think Ron's talking about, and I'll try to get to them real quick. One of the aspects of the law was as guaranteed issues, so that nobody can be declined a policy, and that has historically been an issue that I think that many have struggled with, both here as well as outside of the state. The second was the issue around the mandate. So the mandate of everybody has to get a policy. Those two actually have to go hand in hand for any of this to actually work at all. And so the final is this issue of subsidies. And so if people really can't afford insurance, there are subsidies out there. And the subsidies go all the way up to the 400% of poverty level. And I think
which is about what, if you make just under $50,000?
At an individual level, and for a family of four, it's somewhere in that $90,000 range. Which means that the efforts are out there to try to be sure that people can get it. But it is absolutely true. The basic principles of insurance are that the larger the population, or the larger the pool of covered lives, the lower the cost will be, both now and over time.
All right. We're going to take some more callers if we can. Coral, was there something specific you wanted to add to that?
I just wanted to build on what Tony's saying, is that this is a learning process for all of us. What we're hearing in outreach is that, you know, folks are exploring what their options are. And so I believe you had asked sort of where is this all going to lead, or how we might see the landscape change. I think we're being informed of that as we go along. And I encourage the listeners to recognize that as we speak about the uninsured, it's our neighbors, our family members, our friends, our coworkers. There's a lot of opportunities for us to gain insight as we go through this process and listen to our community.
All right. Well, we've got lots in our community who are on the phone right now, and they'd like to get through. We're going to put you through as we can. But don't wait if you're thinking about calling 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Andrew, calling us from Waipahu. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. A question or more of a comment. From my understanding, the plans, even if the rates and everything was golden on the first, the plans, if they were able to go in and purchase these, would not take effect until January. So to me, it feels like a little bit of like people wanting the instant gratification or being a little impatient. I think I'd rather have the plan go out, you know, wait until everything's dialed down before I purchase something that's not even going to take effect for 3 months.
There you go. A rational voice. Thanks, Andrew. Aloha. Going now to Maya, calling us from the Big Island. Aloha, Maya.
Here's another rational voice. This is just the first week of a huge program. We don't even have Social Security in you know, a straight table on the internet. So I can understand your being a little upset about everything not being ready. But I think from what is expected, from what we can expect as retirees, this may all just work itself out.
All right. Thank you so much.
And we certainly have time for doing that.
Thanks very much for the call. And we're going now to Mark, calling us from Kahala. Once again, if you'd like to join us, do it soon, 941-3689. There's a phone line with your name on it if you do it now, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We're talking about the rollout of the Health Connector and health plans. And if you have a specific question, we'd love to hear from you, 941-3689. Aloha, Mark.
Hi, Bethann. Hey, I'm design software for a living, and so just out of curiosity, went through the Health Connector thing with some pretty big expectations. And, twice the site crashed on me, and so I finally got to the state benefits office. So one is just kind of this confusing sort of thing. You go through these doors of different sites, and, you know, alone the site just crashing was bad enough. But finally I talked to somebody, and they said, now I have to go down to the Quest office to apply for Quest insurance.
Okay, Mark, so, can I stop you for a second? Because Coral Andrews is shaking her head and saying, no, that's not our site. Coral, can you answer him, please?
I do want to clarify and acknowledge the degree of collaboration in this development. I'll provide some background information. As the eligibility and enrollment system that you're seeing is COLEA, which is the new Medicaid eligibility enrollment system. So as people come in indicating a desire for financial assistance, there's a link that takes them over to COLEA. My understanding is they have been working to address what that issue is.
Yeah, and even today, because we are trying various links, and he's right, it's still not functional, but it does say COLEA. That's the part that is not, well, one of the parts that's not functional.
You know, I guess just as a designer, and this is a rational suggestion, is just put on the front page that not ready for prime time. I mean, makes you guys kind of look bad, but just put something up there so someone doesn't go clicking down these links and gets kind of toasted like I did.
Unless there's some information that you might be able to get from whatever is there. But your point is well taken, and thanks very much, Mark, for hanging out and joining us and giving us a call.
Beth Ann, I think the important thing for people to understand as well is the concept behind the ACA and these marketplaces is a single streamline application, a one-stop shop for consumers. So if your family has both an opportunity to leverage a Medicaid benefit, an employed benefit, or a non-working uninsured individual, they don't have to go multiple places. They can come there. And so I know, too, that our DHS counterparts have done a wonderful job of getting the COLEA system up, and I want to acknowledge them as well.
And once that all comes together, that will make life a little easier for families who are dealing with just those issues. Going now to Richard calling us from Maui. Aloha, Richard. Richard, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
And now we can, yes, thank you.
Oh, good. These electronic equipments never work very good.
As we are finding out, aren't we?
Yes. The great experiment. I like to sometimes go back to two cans and a string. Anyways, my question is that I haven't had insurance since 2009 when I was let go at the last job that I had. We started a business that's not very profitable yet. We're still building it. I haven't seen a doctor since 2004. I understand from everything that I've heard that Obamacare will cost me at 60 years old about $750 a month, which is more than I've spent on medical care in the last 20 years. Am I going to get fined for not having medical insurance if I can't afford $750 a month?
The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Tony.
So there's two things I would mention. One is so the mandate is out there, and of course there is a fine, but the fine is fairly nominal the first year, and I think that's the efforts are not to sort of ease it out and give people a chance to absorb the requirement as well as the cost. But as an employer, if you are your own business, then of course you also have prepaid out there. But as you think about the cost of health insurance versus the cost of catastrophic incidences and the cost associated with care that you might need, really, and the basic reason for having insurance, those premiums eventually can become can be far less than what a person could be exposed to in terms of the care for a chronic condition or a catastrophic injury.
John?
I think what Tony says is very important, to go ahead and get out there and shop, because there are two things to be mindful of, and that is that we focused on affordability and getting out there and seeing what is actually available on the issuer's websites and what those rates are could really be helpful. But more importantly, it's to use the calculator to see if you get a premium subsidy. Because as you work with the calculator, you can see that at different ages and in different percentages of federal poverty level, you can get some really significant subsidies to help with the offsetting the cost of the premium.
So you don't think that the 700 and something that he's looking at is potentially going to be reality for him as a young person?
May not be. That's why it's important for him to start shopping. And that's really what's great about the opportunity we have right now during the first couple of weeks of having ACA go live for the exchanges is that we have an opportunity to do the shopping, to begin to get out there and find out what type of subsidy you might qualify for,
even though
we don't have everything.
Right. Do the shopping in terms of looking at the information that you can find, but not necessarily being able to look at every plan until those plans are out there. And what some of the callers have said is just, you know, cool out, relax a little bit, learn what you can learn now. It doesn't start until January 1st anyway. If that doesn't exactly suit you and you want everything at one go, that's probably going to annoy you that you can't get everything. But this is at least what we're looking at this point in time. Even if we want to make it something different, that's what it is. Going now to Carol, calling us from Kailua. Aloha, Carol.
Hi. I just wanted to share an observation about the conversation that we're engaged in. And the observation is that people fear, of course, what they cannot understand. And I find that a lot of people who are trying to explain things are using very big words, and words that we normally bat around meeting room tables, but which the average consumer may not understand at all. And for the second idea is that we're asking people to become their own insurance agents. And imagine, so ask a person, a consumer, what to imagine when they walk into their insurance agent's office and ask for a rate. How long does it take the insurance agent to calculate what their premium might be? And it's very complicated, and I think that people need to understand that. But I also think that we need to be very careful in the language that we use to explain it.
All right. That's a very good comment. Thanks very much, Carol. We're going to try to sneak in one more call before we have to say goodbye. Neil calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Neil. I'll ask you to be quick.
Hi, yeah, real quick, you know, we're talking about the voices of a reason out there, and I think one of the big concerns about the connector has been very, very dishonest, I think, in its advertising, you know, telling employers that they can save, up to 50% and some of these other things. I think what a lot of folks don't realize is that this connector is funded for only 2 years, and the majority of the money that they have right now is just for marketing. After the 2 years, they're going to be gone. And what we have right now is a situation where if the connector is successful and if they get the mass exodus or the a large amount of people move to that, after they're not sustainable, I think everybody in the government realizes that, and any smart mathematician would realize this. There would not be any place for these guys to go.
All right, Neil, I'm really sorry that we're going to have to cut you off, but I know I want to get Coral to give you a very brief answer because we're going to have to go in just a minute. Thanks very much for the call. Coral, can you give him just a brief answer? He's concerned what happens in 2 years if there's no funding.
Sure. Well, thank you, Neil. First of all, there was an intentional decision to establish a state-based marketplace in Hawaii, and the reason for that was to preserve prepaid. That decision alone means that we need to put every effort into ensuring that the insurance marketplace is viable. Many stakeholders around do support that. The fact the statute passed supports that, and I can assure you that we will be moving into this next phase of evaluating the sustainability model. But I want to point out that without a state-based marketplace, Hawaii would not have prepaid in place. We would default to a federally run marketplace. So it's in our best interest to put our minds together, and we're working with the board to move in that process.
And we're going to have another conversation about all this because very clearly we're not at the point where we can talk about some of those real numbers yet because we can't all see them. We can talk about scenarios, and we'll continue to do that. We all come back and have another conversation with us soon as we actually have some real numbers out there.
That'd be great.
Yes. May I acknowledge HDS, Guardian, and Best Life, who are dental issuers that will be on the marketplace.
Okay. A lot of acknowledging going on tonight. And I want to also thank very much Gordon Ito for joining us by phone from the conference in Nevada. Thanks very much for being with us.
Sure. My pleasure.
And we'll talk to you when you get home, too. Thanks a bunch to Gordon Ito, to Coral Andrews, to Tony, Sagibo, I went right out of my head there for a second, and to Joan Donnelly, thanks very much for being here, and you too. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, remembered that one, and I'll see you tomorrow morning right here for The Conversation.